KBOO Community Radio and the Jazz Society of Oregon are thrilled to present the 39th Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, July 19, 20, and 21 at Cathedral Park in North Portland. The area's finest jazz, blues, R&B, and Latin musicians will rock the park for 3 days. PDX Soul, Karen Lovely, King Louis Organ Trio, Devin Phillips, Mel Brown, John Gilmore are just a few of the 15 bands performing this year. That's the 39th Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, Portland's longest-running community event, July 19, 20, and 21, under the St. John's Bridge in North Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Radiance of Resistance, a night with Jana Jihad on Monday, July 29th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jana Jihad Tamimi, 13-year-old Palestinian activist, began recording, reporting on, and sharing her lived reality from the age of 7, shortly after two of her relatives were killed by Israeli forces. Jana now enjoys a global following, serves as ambassador of the South African Palestinian Children's Initiative, and has been awarded internationally for her media role. Again, that's Radiance of Resistance, a night with Jana Jihad on Monday, July 29th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1226 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Everybody's savior. Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland in the Vancouver area, and 104.3 FM in the Willamette Valley, and 91.9 FM in the Columbia River Gorge, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM, and you can hear some of our older shows on KBOO.FM/Veterans Voice 1, word Veterans Voice. I'm Marvin, and Liam is helping Perrin get started here, and I want to welcome Perrin to the station here, and Tammy should be back next month. She's been on vacation. I want to talk about quite a few things today, and I think one of the things I want to talk about first before I really start going on stuff is that you know how important our radio station is right now with all the craziness and the ramping up of the violence in our country. The orange man sitting in the People's White House causing all this trouble. He's almost gotten us into war in Iran. He's keeping the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria going. He's threatened to start us in a war in Venezuela. And also, there's really high tensions in the South China Sea. And I'll talk about some of those things in just a little bit. But, you know, to keep our station going, we have to have members to join us. And September 16th, we're starting the fall drive, membership drive. And if you want to join us before then, you can go on KBOO.FM, and up in the right-hand corner, you can hit that icon, and it'll help you, you know, become a member. I got some announcements I wanna put out before I start my rant, and tell Dan Handelman I'm sorry I didn't get his emails telling me about this, but I did get these flyers this morning, the first one is no sanctions, no war. We've heard it all before. And that's Friday, July 19th at 5 p.m. today. It's the Portland Peaceful Response Coalition's weekly rally and march for peace and justice. It's at Pioneer Courthouse Square, and that's at Southwest Yamhill and Broadway. And they've been doing that since November 2001. So that's been going on for 18 years. And that filthy wars over there have been going on for, you know, 18 years. So that's one. And again, that's Friday today at 9, at 5 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And if you need to find out more, you can call the Peace and Justice Works Iraq Affinity Group at 503-236-3065, and they'll be glad to give you more information. And here's another really a good one. Again, it's no U.S. war in Iran or Venezuela. Sanctions kills people too. And demilitarize America. War only serves the 1%. Stop the war on the borders. No occupations. No coup. No media lies. Money for people and the planet, not for war. And that's a rally in March, Sunday, July 28th at 1 p.m. And that's going to be at the amphitheater east of Salmon Street Springs on the waterfront. That's at Southwest NATO and Salmon, right on the river's edge down there. And you can get some information if you need more information about that. You can call 503-236-3065. and peace and justice works. So that's, again, that's a rally in March, Sunday, July 28th, 1 p.m. at the amphitheater east of Salmon Creek Springs on the waterfront. And with these wars continuing, we really do need to let these people know that we're not satisfied with that. And these wars have got to stop. Got to stop. It's just costing too much money. The military budget is, what, over $600 billion now? $600 billion. That's higher than the next, what, five or six countries in the world? My gosh, that's just... And the other day, Turkey bought this missile defense stuff from Russia, and the United States government's all up in arms about it, and they said that we're not going to sell them these new brand new military jets to them, you know. And so, don't buy anything from anybody but us. And this is a good one right here too. It's a vegan diet challenge. And it says, go vegan for 22 days. Join a compassionate community. Learn to prepare vegan meals. Visit a sanctuary for farm animals. See health and environmental benefits. And get a personal mentor. And that begins on June 22nd. Sign up at pdxveg.org, and everything is free. So if you're interested in becoming a vegan, this is the place to go. That's Vegan Diet Challenge starting June 22nd. You can sign up at pdxveg.org. And I haven't eaten meat for 30 years, so I don't have to go to this. But that sounds like a really good thing to do, because, you know, eating red meat's not really a good thing for you, and I don't think you should do it. So I've been in contact with Angie up out of Olympia, and we send stuff back and forth to each other. And she sent me this one message, and she says she wants me to announce it. And there's a up in Vancouver, Yo Liun, she's a Ukrainian, and she's going to give free yoga lessons to people, to veterans, and it's free to veterans, and you can go up there, and it's located in Vancouver. The hashtag is at Yogi YOGIYULIYA, and that's the hashtag. And it's at 7 Thursday at 7 p.m. and the class is only limited to 12 people. So you can also get her at yogiyula@gmail.com. And I think anything that helps veterans get that stress out, because we have a lot of stress. I mean, I was in Vietnam in 1968, and I still have stress. You know, I still have dreams about Vietnam, and I still have counseling. I still have to take antidepressants for my PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I know a whole lot of veterans have to do that. Our new veterans that came back from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria. And I know that a whole bunch of those folks are getting their medicines from the VA hospital up on the hill here in Portland, and at other VA places around the country. So it's very, very a good thing. And there's also, she sent me a very interesting, this woman's a Native American, she's a Iraqi veteran, and she was hurt in Iraq, and she came home, and she wanted to fit back into a life here, and she tried all kinds of different things to do this, and she ended up raising sheep. She has a ranch here in Oregon where she raises these special sheep called churros, and she's Angie met, we've been talking about Annie this morning. Angie met her at a female veterans conference, and she says she would be a very good guest for us, and I think that's true, that I will probably contact her. And if you want to go and see her website and see what she's all about, you can go to www.dotrancchurros.com, and you can see the type of sheep she does. She's raising, and you can talk to her and do a lot of healing through that. And that's a really good idea, and I really appreciate Angie for sending me that information. And Angie's such a good person, and I miss her every day. And we keep in contact with each other. She's filing for more disability through the VA because she definitely has post-traumatic stress disorder, and she has women in the military get sexual harassed and raped along with men in the military. We had a fellow on here one time who had been raped in the military, and so it's not just our women that are being raped, it's also the men being raped, and that's a really big problem in this country. And Angie, I sent Angie this interesting article that came across that was sent to me, and is talking about how women in the military have such a hard time, and when they get out, they have a very hard time. The VAs really weren't prepared for the women veterans in the huge amount of them that were coming out of the military, and they get health care, which is good. But like, if these veterans are going to have children, there's no birthing areas up at the veterans hospital, so they're sent to other hospitals in the area to have their children. And I've talked to quite a few women veterans up at the Hill, female veterans up on the Hill, and there's starting to be more and more female veterans coming in and getting their health care, and are also getting their disability through the Veterans Administration, which is good. And Angie brought up something that I had never thought about before, and it's just, you know, she said that one of the things that women, female veterans, have when they come back from the wars and get out of the military is that when they're in the military, they're too feminine. They said, the military says, they're too feminine for the military. And then when they get out of the military into civilian life thinks they're too manly, you know, to be too manly, which it just doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what's happening. And these women have a hard time with that. You know, women, veterans have a hard time getting jobs. They have a hard time when they're going to school. Our sisters in the African American community really have a hard time getting settling down into a good life. There's a high rate of divorce in all veterans, but in the female, in the black community, it's pretty high. And the drug use in all the veterans is high, but in African American women's veterans, it's really high, and divorce rates are high, and homelessness is high for our women, our African American women veterans. It's females. It's really high, and that's a really sad state when our veterans are not able to get the proper care that they need after the Civil War. The VA was made to take care of people. That's what it's for, to take care of the veterans who have sacrificed themselves for this country. And they're falling short on it, you know? And they really need to start working on helping our female veterans to get all the help they can get. And we really, really need that. And I just dropped all my papers, so hold on. Okay, I'm back. I dropped everything. At least I didn't leave them at home, which I've done before. And you know, Puerto Rico is just one of our colonies. You know, we have colonies. We have Samoa is a colony, and some of the other islands, they're colonies. I don't care what they call them, territories or whatever. They're colonies. And we need to get rid of that. But Puerto Rico right now is trying to get rid of their governor. Their governor and some of the leading people in different departments and everything were sending out these horrible, horrible emails about what was going on. They even joked about the poor people who died during this hurricane. And this governor, what he did was he made those folks resign, but he's not going to resign. And the other day they had 20,000 people out in front of that the governor's place. 20,000, boy, those folks really know how to do an uprising. And they're still going at it. The police fired tear gas at them the other day, but they're still going at it. They really know how to have an uprising. And I'm very proud of those folks. And I want to I wish I could go there, but I can't, to see them and be with them. I want to talk a little bit about, oh, this is something interesting too that I got sent to me, and it's an article about the alt-right, these right-wing fascist folk. This was about the women in that movement. They're worried, the right-wingers, the right fascists, I call them, you know, they call themselves nationalists, and I don't think they are nationalists. I think they're fascist. I think they want a totalitarian government. And if they, you know, that's what Trump, you know, Trump would be happy as a clam if this country turned into a dictatorship, to a totalitarian government, and he was the head of it. He would love that. You know, this guy's racist. There's just no doubt about it. His father was racist. He's racist. All you have to do is look back on his history. He's racist, and he's racist to this day. And that's given all these groups out there thinking that they have a big supporter in the White House, which they do. And so they're coming out of the woodwork doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But these right-wing women, they're afraid that this country is not going to be a predominant white country in a while, which I think is a great idea, not being a white country. I think that's just that's being a white country is not good. And they're worried about the amount of babies that people are having that aren't white, you know? And so their whole thing is they want white women to start having more babies. That was the whole context of this article that I read, was they want more right-wing women, white women, to start having more babies so they can keep this country like they want it to be a white country. And it was interesting, you know, reading. And I got finished, I started laughing, and I think I sent it up to Angie to read. And I talked to some of my friends and told them about it, and some people in the peace movement, and then some of my friends that aren't in the peace movement but support the peace movement, I told them about it, and they just laughed and laughed about it because it's so stupid, you know, so stupid. With this guy in the White House, in the People's House, it's a problem. For one thing, he never got elected by the popular vote. You know, he lost the popular vote by over 3 million people. He got put in office by a very small margin in this antiquated thing called whatever it's called. You know, I don't even like to say what it is. And he got in there by just a very small, and he's acting like he got a mandate to do stuff. And when they bring it up that he lost the popular vote, he starts saying, well, it was an illegal vote, you know. The Electoral College, what that's called, I'm sorry. But he comes back and he says, well, there was cheating and all this stuff. Well, the cheating was that Russia was putting out all this horrible stuff, and the right wing was falling for it. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. And so he thinks that is the way it's supposed to be. And it, you know, I just so much disagree with that. I want to talk, you know, he had a clown show. He had a carnival the other night. I think it was in South Carolina. He had this carnival. You know, here he is, this clown, and he's up in front of all the circus goers, and he's sprouting his vulgar racist stuff, and they're all eating it up. You know, you look at them, they all got frothy mouths and everything, and it's a white crowd, boy. It's a white crowd. And he really started attacking the four wonderful women of color that are now in the Congress. The women who don't put up with anything, who really tell it like it is, who this country should be made up of a lot of women like her, like these women. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. These women are really getting jammed. They're getting death threats all the time. You know, here Trump did this stupid tweet saying that they should go back to where they came from and work on that country. Well, they were born here in America. Three out of four of them were born right here in America. They're Americans. And the third one, a fourth one, she's a naturalized American. She's an American. And Alexandria said, okay, she'll go back to Brooklyn or wherever she's from in New York, because that's where she's from. She's from there. And where does he get off telling people to go back to where they came from? Send them back. That whole cartoon circus that he had were all screaming, send her back, send her back. You know, before that, they were hollering at Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, put her in jail, put her in jail, put her in jail. Now they're screaming at these women, send them back, send them back. These are American women. They're Americans. They have every right to this country as anybody else does. Even the 1% who run this country don't think they don't. But these women, you know, they stand up. They don't take anything from these people. Even Pelosi, who is the head of the House, is really jamming these women. Man, these women are coming back out fighting, and they're not going to quit fighting, and we're going to support them all over the place. Perrin, I'd like to play that second song that I want to hear, and let the listeners of me ranting and raving here to listen to. I like it. The first song was I'd been thinking about my friends that were nurses in Vietnam for about the last week, and so I want to play this other song now, and it's Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and it's a really good song. Creedence only did really two songs that were anti-war, and this is one of them. And the other one was Run Through the Jungle. So those two, and when Perrin gets it up, I'll quit talking. But I'm going to go talk about... Okay, let's go. It's up and ready. Go ahead, Perrin. Here's something that's really interesting that I got. And it says right here, a majority of veterans say they believe the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the military engagement in Syria were not worth it. This is the veterans who fought in that war. A majority of them say those wars were not worth it. Those wars that they went to and they put their bodies on the line were not worth it. And that is really surprising. You know, there's a small group of them, these lifers and these people who make a career out of the military. You know, they support it. But the majority of these veterans say it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. And that is really good to hear. Now we need those folks to get out in the streets. They are believe the same thing we believe about those wars, that they're not worth it. The killing of civilians, more civilians die in a war than the fighters do. More civilians die in a war. You know, probably the deaths in these wars, the civilians make up probably 90% of the casualties in a war from our wars in these countries. And so when these veterans are saying that the war wasn't worth it, you know, that's something. That really is something to say, you know, that they're saying that. And I support them. Boy, Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, not worth it, majority of veterans say. And so good for them. I want to talk about this last rally that we had here in Portland. I always go to those rallies, and I always wear my Vietnam veteran hat. And I always walk with Antifa, the Democratic Socialists of America, and other groups that joined in that. And that when I parked my car and I walked down, I walked through Pioneer Square because I heard that the right wingers were going to have a rally there. Well, when I got there, there was like a handful of people, just a handful of people there. And the one there was two women, and I think four or five men were there. And I'll talk about one of them in just a little bit. And so then I walked on down to where the people I support were at. And it was like a carnival. It was great. There was music playing. There were they had milkshakes, these little vegan milkshakes that were wonderful. I drank quite a few of them myself. And they were getting ready to go. People were lining up. People were coming by and giving out milkshakes. There were people dancing. It was just made up of a lot of people, and it was having a good time. I was sitting there, and I wear my hair short, and people kind of look at me a little leery, you know, because, you know, I have my hair short, and they were kind of edgy away from me a little bit. And then Lewis came by, and Lewis and I talked, and he said, thanks for coming down here. And Lewis is really an important part of Antifa. And so when they saw me and Lewis talking and shaking hands, that they got friendlier with me. And a lot of the Antifa people know me from other rallies, and I don't worry about anything happening to me when I walk with Antifa. And so we started out, I put my hat on, and we started out, and we got maybe two blocks, and here the cops had a line, you know, oh, you're not going any farther than that. And Antifa stayed there and for a while, and you know, just had a talk with the police. And so then they decided the cops said, wouldn't let them by, and so big deal, you know. So they turned around and they went back towards the park where we were, and they went up farther, and I was kind of behind them walking slow, and with the other people who are walking slow, because I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm 70 years old, and I was walking there, and this guy came up beside me. He was riding a bicycle, and he says, where are they going? I says, they're probably heading up to Pioneer Square where the right wingers are. And the guy said, well, I went down to the waterfront, and there wasn't anybody down there. And he says, I have a little problem with the confrontation of everything, the confrontation between groups. And I says, look what happened in 1939 in Germany when nobody confronted the Nazis. And he says, well, I agree with that. And then he took off. And so we walked around and we got blocked off by the cops again. So we changed directions and went down and around and came back up and got up by Pioneer Courthouse Square. And the cops were really there. That they were blocking off. And this clown truck comes by, and it's the black SUV of some kind, and they got these cops all dressed up in black suits, and they have guns, and they have batons, and they have these things they arrest you with. It's not handcuffs, but the other things. And they were driving around all over, and I saw the confrontation between Antifa and this so-called journalist, Andy Ngo. He's no more a journalist. He's a blogger. He's a blogger on the internet. And they've talked about how he's a journalist and journalists should have all the freedom of speech. He's a blogger. And the whole time he was there, he was getting in people's faces. He had a GoPro and all this stuff, and he was getting right in people's faces. And he's done that at a lot of rallies. He always messes with Antifa. And this was a bad day for him to get in Antifa's face. And he got right up in their faces and started saying things. And somebody threw a milkshake at him. And they're saying there was semen in those milkshakes. If there was semen in those milkshakes, I would have a brick in my stomach right now because I drank so many. And I watched what happened to him, you know, what happened to him. He caused all that. He knows that when he goes into there and he gets in front of Antifa and he pushes and pushes and pushes, and then he goes back and he puts his lies on his Facebook blog. He got something like six-figured money from people around the country. He got on all these TV shows and all this, and you know, he got really what he deserved. He hit these people with his. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what he was getting into. And he'd been doing it before, and I'm really surprised he hasn't been confronted before. And the other one I saw was when Antifa was marching, and this guy with a beard, and you saw pictures of him, he had blood on his face and everything. But what they didn't show you, I saw him. He's the guy I saw up in Pioneer Square before. They didn't show you what he had done. He has his baton. It's like the cops have his long baton thing. And he was swinging at people. He was hitting people with this baton. And that's why he got hit. That's why he got hit. You know, he was swinging this at people and hitting people. And people were protecting themselves. That's what happened to him. And the other guy, the bald guy, you know that bald guy, bald-headed guy that got whacked in the head, I've seen him somewhere before. And I've been racking my brain trying to figure out where I'd seen this guy before. And I just can't remember. But those three people who got in trouble caused their own problems. They caused their own problems. That guy with the beard supposedly was a Navy veteran. So he should know better than to be down there supporting right-wing fascists that want this country to be a totalitarian country. So then I left there. It was really cool. There was a U-Haul trailer, a U-Haul truck pickup that was there and had people in the back, and they were playing music and dancing. It was pretty cool. And so I left there, and I went back up to Pioneer Square. I walked out along the side and went up to in front of where Starbucks is, the door to Starbucks. They shut up their store up when these people showed up. And here were those three or four people, these two women and a few men. There's one guy there who was all dressed up in camouflage and had all this junk on, and I had a club and everything, and people were, you know, talking to him, and they were talking back, and it got to be pretty loud back and forth. And right over to the right was this guy I've seen before. He rides on a bicycle around. He has this little beard, and he wears this funny little hat, and people were talking to him too, and he was, you know, spewing all this right-wing nonsense. And I walked up by him, and he said, "Oh, here's a veteran." And I said, "Man, you are on the wrong side." And I've seen him before. And wherever there's these confrontations, are people really going face to face and everything, he's always out to the side. He's never inside where this is going on. But he likes to talk on the television. He likes to talk to reporters, you know. But he doesn't want to get into it. So he's just this phony, phony guy. And so I walked back to see what was going on in front, and a fight broke out. And the police came. There was spray. I think they threw those little things that explode and put up tear gas, because there was a lot of tear gas went out. And then they, I think someone also did bear repellent spray. And so the cops went in there, and they were throwing people out, moving people off. They backed everybody up, and my eyes were really burning bad. So I left and went back across the street, and there was this line of cops, the same cops that was on the clown truck. And I gave them the bird, you know, and everything. And they don't understand that not all veterans are on their side. They think all veterans are on their side, but they're not. And so one cop came over to me, and he was saying, "Why did you give us the bird?" And I says, "Because I don't support you. You're protecting the wrong side." You know, when the cops were down at the other back where the folks were and had the line, there was some of these right wingers right behind them. You know, right behind them. They're being protected by the police. And the police are throwing stuff at us. They support these right wingers, and those right wingers are cowards because they don't go, you know, do the confrontation. And so when I was up there, and he was saying stuff, you know, and I was saying, I don't support you guys. I'll have respect for you when you start doing the job, which, you know, I don't support him anyways. But they, you know, he looked at me, and then he turned around. And he started to walk away. Then he came back and he said, "Are you really a veteran?" I says, "I was in Vietnam 50 years ago before you were even born. Before you were born." And he just kind of looked at me and turned around and walked away. And they kept blocking it off and everything. They finally got the fight stopped. And so I walked around back over by Pioneer Square, and I saw this guy wearing a Special Forces hat, baseball cap. And I thought, this guy's, no way was this guy ever in Special Forces. No way. So I walked up to him, and I started talking to him, and, you know, and everything. I says, "You're not supporting these right wingers, are you?" And he just kind of looked at me. And then when the police were escorting the right wingers away from in front of the Starbucks, he joined them. So he was like the spotter, that they have these spotters out, you know. And so they got in this line, and they started walking off, and the police were, you know, escorting them. And they turned and went up by the Max line and started walking up that way. So I decided, well, I'm going to go home. And I started following him up there, and Antifa was following him, and some other people were following him, and there was some shouting and stuff, and then the cops made us, when those folks got by, the police made a line, you know, a police line on the bicycle, police line, not letting people go. And so then I said, well, you know, I'm going to go home. You know, I've done what I wanted to do. And you know, I was with my friends in Antifa and other folks. And I really think they did a really good job. They're confronting the fascists and the totalitarianism people. And they did a really good job. And so I went into the parking place that I was in and walked up and looked down over, and there was still some Antifa people there, and that people were starting to go away. So I got in my car and I went down, I paid, and I got out. And then I went to get on the freeway, and here was these right wingers, the blonde girls and a couple of the other right-wingers were standing in front of this, like, this little hotel type thing. And guess who was there? The cops. The cops were there. And the bicycle cops were there. So they're still with them. They're still with them. So that's we know whose side they're on. We know whose side they're on. But I want to get back, and I want to talk a little bit more about these wars. And they bother me a lot. And Portland stands up. Portland is not going to ever support these people. And this clown, this orange clown that's in the People's White House, doesn't come to Oregon. He doesn't come to Oregon, because if he came to Oregon, we would have so many in the streets here, so many in the streets, that he's just not going to come, you know. And they kind of put out these little feelers about they might, you know, start doing something, but this city's not going to tolerate it with him coming here and spewing his war talk and his fascist talk and his misogynist talk and his racist talk. You know, here's a guy who didn't go to Vietnam, who got out from going to Vietnam when the rest of us went to Vietnam. I didn't want to go, but I went. A whole bunch of guys went, and this guy didn't go. You know, he had what's called a minimal military deferment. He had heel spurs. Well, I knew guys in Vietnam that had a lot of problems too, but the military took them. I have a friend who had breathing problems when he was a kid, and he was really not eligible to come in, but he did anyway. He signed a waiver saying that he would not accept VA care if his breathing problems got worse. But he did get PTSD stuff. But this guy could have gone in, but he didn't. You know, his father, from what I've read, had a doctor in his building who gave him this deferment. All they do is clip those off. If he had went into service, he had a college education, you know, in finance. He would have been a second lieutenant in some finance here in the States. He would have never went to Vietnam. He would have never went to Vietnam. He would have been in a cushy job, probably in Washington, D.C., in some finance, in the military finance. Why, the rest of us poor kids, we're all going to Vietnam. All going to Vietnam. So that's, you know, that's one of the things. I don't like him. And the other thing I don't like, he's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's a warmonger. He's a warmonger. He keeps these wars going. When he said ran for the highest office in this country, he said he was going to end these wars. He was going to draw them back and end this war. Well, he hasn't done that. And he almost got us into a war in Iran. And he talked about, like I said before, he talked about Venezuela. He's got these Navy ships in South China Sea where if one mistake is made, China's not going to put up with it. You know, China's not going to put up with people going into their areas that they have. If they stay on those routes going through the South China Sea, that's not a problem. You know, that's open. Those routes are open. But if they get off that course and they go into Chinese territory, there's a problem. And they keep sending these ships in there. The Americans have ships going through, military ships in there. England did it. Japan just sent ships in there. I think the Philippines may have. But the Philippines just came out and said they want Trump to attack China, which is really a stupid thing. Because if a battle starts there in the South China Sea, China doesn't have very far to get its supplies, to get its men into that area where we have a huge line of communications to get troops in there. And that, you know, that line of communication, the shipping and all this stuff is really going to be a problem if they do that. So I've ranted and raved enough. I hope people go to these rallies. The one tonight at 5:00 at Pioneer Courthouse Square, 5:00, and also on Sunday, July 28th. At 1 p.m. down at the amphitheater east of 7th Street Springs on the waterfront, southwest NATO and Salmon on the river's edge, and that's at 1:00 on July 28th. Peace and Justice Works and Portland Committee for, what is it? I need to say that correctly. Because they're really good. Portland Peaceful Response Coalition. They're really good people. And so I'll be back August 16th at 9 a.m. And Perrin, there it is.
Thank you very much. That was Veterans Voice Radio. Next up, we have Disability Justice at 10:00. We are nearing the top of the hour. It is now 9:57 here at KBOO.
Good morning. This is Disability Justice, An Everyday Pursuit and Survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
And Dina Wilder. Board operator, operator.
Today in the studio, we have Glenna Hayes, Advocacy and Outreach Coordinator for United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon. Today we will be discussing the three different forms of advocacy. So, Glenna, what are the three different forms of advocacy?
Well, there's three different types. There's the legislative or political advocacy, where you can go down to the Senate and House and start advocating for bills and different things that actually affect us on a political level, about funding, different services that we gain access to. And then we have community advocacy, which is pretty broad. When you think about community, it's either in your neighborhood, it's the city that you live in, it can even be international. That can take place in volunteering in a community garden, that could be advocating for animal rights laws, it could be advocating for new shelters in your neighborhood, it could be advocating for harm reduction, mental health services that affect a broad range of people.
Now, some of that sounds like, I mean, the community access or the community advocating sounds a little like that's political advocation.
It can be mixed because political advocacy does affect the whole entire community. It just depends on what type of level you really want to get involved in. Some people find the political process a little bit difficult to navigate. So I think community advocacy, you're still helping out other people that are in your community, and you're still able to affect people on a larger level if that's something you're interested in. And I think sometimes people forget that. Like, they are intertwined in a way and they are intersectional. But if you don't feel comfortable being a part of the political side of things, you can still support your community in so many different ways. You can even go to like the Parks and Rec budget meetings and just voice your concerns and see what's happening and seeing where you can fill in gaps. I know that one organization here, Free Hot Soup and Food Not Bombs, they're just people in the community who get together and cook food and offer food throughout the city at least 3 to 5 days a week. So if you are struggling to get food or access to hot meals, they're healthy. There's vegan options. There's gluten-free options. And that's a way to help out the whole entire community in a smaller scale. And then there's the personal side of advocacy, where you're advocating for your needs, you're advocating for safety in your environment, safety in your home, or if you are going to the doctor and you're just making sure that you're receiving the quality care that you deserve. There's so many ways to be a self-advocate for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know you have a lot of experience in political advocacy, and we did just go through a pretty broad legislation.